Hi, and welcome to the St. Vrain ELA podcast. I'm Zach Chase, and today I sat down with Oakley Schilling to talk a little bit about inquiry and how you can scaffold supports for inquiry for our English language learner population. So sit back and enjoy. Hi, this is Zach Chase, Language Arts Coordinator at St. Vrain Valley Schools. Who am I sitting with?
This is Oakley Schilling, ELD Coordinator for St. Vrain Valley Schools.
Excellent. What does ELD mean?
English language development.
Okay. And who do you work with mainly?
I work primarily with secondary schools around language development and English language learners.
Okay, cool. Well, then this is going to be great for the conversation I want to have. In a lot of the secondary schools I've been visiting and meeting with over the last couple of weeks, I've been having some conversations around what inquiry means and putting more student inquiry into classrooms. And I was thinking, well, first of all, what does that mean to you? What does student inquiry mean?
I think that as a former teacher, when I wanted my students to work more with inquiry sort of minded pathways, it was more about students being able to investigate and the flexibility of allowing them the opportunity to dig deeper and find out more about any given topic.
Okay. That fits very much with how I think about this. And I think about not necessarily just giving the opportunity, but creating an invitation in the classroom. I was in a middle school classroom last week where a teacher was talking about just a general topic of English. And so they were looking at a short story with the class, and there was a kind of template of find this piece of technique and give the evidence of this technique. Find this piece, give the evidence of this technique. And they were using this story that was beautifully written. And as they were reading it, I thought, wow, that first paragraph made this group of middle school students come to a lot of conclusions and just completely infer the meaning. Mm-hmm. And they did. They all came up, they all went exactly where the author had led them. Mm-hmm. And I thought, wow, this would have been a great opportunity instead of that template to say, what do you notice? Mm-hmm. Right? Like, what did the author do here? Mm-hmm. So kind of that invitation of like, just, I'm not looking for a specific thing, but I'm asking, what do we as readers see? Is that what you're talking about?
It is. And I think that, you know, coming from my perspective, there are some things that need to be in place for students who may not have the level of language acquisition to get to that first point.
Okay.
And so I think a lot of times there are ways that you can help guide that kind of inquiry thinking and then pull away those scaffolds as students get better at discovering on their own.
So what are some quick wins then? What if I'm a teacher who's kind of thinking about these supports for the first time, what are some strategies you'd recommend as kind of, these are more often than not going to work to help students?
In terms of inquiry only.
Yeah.
Well, I think that first of all, the first place to start would be to really take into consideration the current performance levels and proficiency levels of the students that you're talking about, and really be pretty aware. I think that kind of one size fits all template that you were talking about, it can kind of restrict students when they could have gone further on their own, and so keeping that in mind when you're building those supports for inquiry.
So you're saying kind of it sets a ceiling to what you might get back,
right?
So a student, and I did see some students going through and they kind of had their perfunctory, I've got a line here, I've filled it out.
Yes.
And I think as a teacher, just thinking back to when I would do that, that was more for me checking a box, not necessarily for looking at student learning. But you were talking...
No. About... And I think it's important too, because I think students get really good at knowing what their teachers are expecting, kind of the minimum that they're expecting, and so they know that if they fill out those boxes and they learn to think in a certain way that doesn't sort of deviate from the program, we limit them. And a lot of times that's easy to do when you have students who are just learning English, but you really are doing them a disservice because you put a limit on what they can show you.
So what should I do? So you say, let's kind of get an understanding of what some of the levels of English language acquisition are in mm-hmm. my classroom.
Mm-hmm.
And then
I would say, you know, it's important to set up some routines at the very beginning and have it, and have them, give them opportunities to sort of, get their feet wet with inquiry in situations that are not super risky for them.
Okay.
And so maybe it's something about a topic that they already know about.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's something about an experience that they've already had.
Mm-hmm.
So that they can feel some success around the process before you have them jump into something that is completely unknown.
Okay. So I'm thinking, just based on what you're talking about, if I maybe came up with some strategic smaller groups,
mm-hmm.
one, so it's not a whole class kind of performance piece,
mm-hmm.
and then keeping with that initial question of what do you notice, but making it not necessarily a whole paragraph, but
sure.
taking it down to a couple of key sentences that
sure.
I would identify and say, what do you all know?
Mm-hmm.
And the goal being not, again, not to fit that box of, oh, what is Michelling looking for?
Right.
But instead, I'm looking to see how much you
what
can
I
come
can
up
find.
With that you noticed.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe sharing that, like small groups, sharing that out to a, mm-hmm. a larger group.
And I think even beyond that, being strategic about how you group and allowing English learners to have access to native English speakers so that they have those good models.
Okay.
And providing some language supports within those smaller groups so that they have those opportunities to use language and flex their language in new ways. And then switch it up, you know, so that it's constantly moving, so that you don't have this same template that you do all the time
mm-hmm.
necessarily, but kids get comfortable thinking in a new way.
Okay. So I'm also thinking about kind of the social aspect of this.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm a native English speaker and I'm working with a student in my group who has some limited proficiency,
mm-hmm.
as a teacher, how do I set up what might be a correction, right? So kind of a grammatical miscue or...
And I think, and that's a really good question, because I think that a lot of that goes back to how you set up your class initially,
mm-hmm.
And kind of what expectations you have about those interactions and
mm-hmm.
how kids work in groups together. And you do have some language frames for kids to use on both ends so that, you know, students who are learning English have some supports in what they say. And then students on the other end of that have some supports on how they provide feedback.
Well, which is great, just great practice, right?
Mm-hmm.
So kind of even just I'm thinking of a piece of chart paper that
mm-hmm.
as a class we kind of brainstorm, how do we give feedback,
mm-hmm.
right? So asking the class, hey, when someone says something we think is incorrect,
mm-hmm.
how might we structure that feedback?
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't want it to be the proficient English speaker who kind of like, if you know English, how do you give feedback? But you want
right.
it to be kind of everybody. Like how,
exactly. This is how we talk to each other.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So opening that piece up. And then we take it to, so thinking about that paragraph that I saw in the classroom,
mm-hmm.
I've got the small group with some kind of language prompts, and I move
mm-hmm.
it to the whole group conversation. Do I practice that a couple of times, or do you feel like we can kind of release, kind of, or maybe I do that, and then I pull back, and then I make it go back to that smaller group?
Yeah, and I think it really kind of depends on what the target is. You know, I think... For some students, there are going to be some things that need to be taught explicitly that
mm-hmm.
other students maybe don't need.
Okay.
Some idiomatic expressions, some sort of figurative language that might be a little trickier to
mm-hmm.
navigate. And so maybe when kids are working in those smaller groups, and maybe when you're pulling students with similar levels, you can work on some of those aspects of the text that might be more difficult.
And I wonder if this is a place for, right, so noticing is, right, calling out what's there, and
mm-hmm.
then maybe that leads us to some questions of why did we notice. In my classes, I would often have it, I notice, I wonder, right?
Mm-hmm.
So opening that up to, again, amount, not quality,
mm-hmm.
would be my goal.
Mm-hmm.
What are all the things we wonder about this paragraph?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And so that opens it up to, oh, what did they mean by?
Exactly.
Because I think one of the dangerous assumptions we have is that it's just students who are developing their proficiency
mm-hmm.
in a new way who are going to struggle with idioms.
For sure.
Right? That
for sure.
Culture is, you know, distributed in all sorts of different kinds
absolutely.
Of ways. So just, I noticed and then I wondered, could give a strategy that everybody has. Our goal is to come up with as many questions as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So it isn't the best ones, correct? Because mm-hmm. I think that that's where we run into, then we're still, again, chasing the teacher's expectation.
Right. And I think, you know, those are really great opportunities to have conversations about author's choice, about, you know, why would an author choose this word instead of another word? And mm-hmm. those kinds of, those ideas about shades of meaning. And I think that those kinds of conversations can be especially helpful, not just for English learners, but for everyone, because it really helps kids expand their thinking about how they use word choice in their own writing.
So speaking of that, when would you shift that? Are there worries that you would have about maybe a student who's developing their proficiency be used as that kind of author's chair? Or would you be willing to go through the same process and instead of that piece that was in the textbook saying, we're going to use a student's paragraph here and really look mm-hmm. at, I noticed, would you run through those same steps?
I think probably not at the very beginning.
Okay.
I'd give kids some time to practice and let them feel comfortable with what they're sharing, particularly when you're learning a new language, it can be really embarrassing mm-hmm. to put yourself out there and, you know, and hard, and, you know, it takes some time to build that confidence
right.
about sharing.
And you want some quick successes
yes.
there too. You want to make,
absolutely.
It's embracing failure is one thing, but not having the tools or knowing what success feels like.
Right. And you don't want to feel like a failure all the time.
Exactly. Right. I would learn from it if I would stop doing it. Right. Often. That's kind of how I often feel about my
yes.
job.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. If there was one thing around helping the students who are developing their proficiency, if you said, oh, I wish all teachers would think about this when they're thinking about inquiry, what's one piece that you would hope they would start to think about?
I mean, there's a lot of things, but I think with this particular topic of inquiry, I think it would be really to keep in mind the particular strengths and experiences that all your students are coming with. I think it can be really easy to be kind of blinded by the fact that students are still acquiring English when they come with a whole world of knowledge and experiences that they can offer and that are really strengths. And so I think it would be to have teachers keep in mind that students come with all kinds of strengths and experiences that should be highlighted.
Great. Thanks, Oakley.
Thank you.
If folks have any questions about this, they can email you.
Absolutely.
At @Schilling_Oakley. And that's SCHILLING_OAKLEY.
Very good.
Thank you. All right. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Zach.
Thanks for listening, and thanks to Oakley Schilling for sitting down for this episode to talk about ELD and supporting inquiry for language acquisition. If you want to know more about language arts at St. Green Valley Schools, check us out on Twitter at SBVSDLA or at our blog, blogs.sbvsd.org/language arts. Thanks a lot.